All right, welcome back to the CTB Show, Cat. We are finally here. Crazy that we're even saying this because it feels like it wasn't that long ago where we did our early season predictions and we did our first episode of the season, but we're here. The Super Bowl special. All we're going to do is talk about the Super Bowl today. Thomas Pockering, as always. Christian Catanacci. Cat, what's going on, man?
Not only is it a very important episode because it's the Super Bowl, it actually is a milestone for the CTB show. We're at 50 episodes.
This is 50.
This is the 50th.
I thought last week was 50 and I thought we forgot about it, but
this is the 50th episode. So how fitting that our halfway to triple digit episode is the Super Bowl special. And that, I mean, there's nothing better than a Super Bowl with two very different stories and two different types of teams. One team that's deep and many can argue is the best team in the NFL. Obviously, they're, you know what I mean, they're one of the two that are in the Super Bowl. But again, super deep. Brock Purdy, last pick in the draft. And you have the Kansas City Chiefs, who are also a very good team, but they are just glorified as and almost labeled as the next dynasty with Patrick Mahomes. I'm absolutely ecstatic. I cannot wait for Sunday. As you know what, I'm not a fan of this sort of 2 weeks period, but it also does build the suspense a little bit. I enjoyed last week off without football. I know we had the VTFL games that sort of kept my blood circling without having football on TV, but I'm excited, Pac. I know you're excited. And there's no other way to celebrate the Super Bowl than a Super Bowl preview episode on the CTV show.
Yeah, I think the first thing to say is there's all this nonsense on social media. And if you go on any big account, whether it's ours or literally any sport media outlet, and you look at like everyone posts like, oh, the Super Bowl is set. And it's like a graphic of the 49ers versus the Chiefs of some sort. All the comments are just littered with like, no, this is the worst possible matchup. We wanted Ravens and Lions. We want, like, don't kid yourself. These are the two best teams in the NFL. And I think that's the second year in a row, at least, where we can, like, confidently sit here and say, like, the two best teams in the NFL are playing each other in the Super Bowl. I know the Chiefs weren't the one seed, but what they've showed up over the last 3 weeks and their ability to just flip the switch come playoff time is incredible. So I'm pumped for this game. And I think if you're somehow sick of this matchup, or somehow not excited to watch these two teams battle, like, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah, obviously. It's all, you know, how that's social media comments as a whole, right? It's just people trying to troll. Like, you can't call yourself a fan or a football fan, a football connoisseur, and say, like, you're not excited for the Super Bowl. Oh, like, it's the worst matchup ever. How is it a bad matchup? I don't get it.
And also, how do people not like Brock Purdy? Like, this is one of the best stories to come out of the NFL in forever. The last pick in the draft, I get it. Yeah, he plays on this great team. So what? You know how many good quarterbacks play for good teams and they just weren't able to get it done, not even able to get to the Super Bowl? And the fact that he's there, I don't care if he's not carrying all the weight. He's a good player, a very good player. And you talk about the two-week period. I feel like so many times that two-week period is so long that the media just runs out of things to talk about, and we got shows speculating, oh, if the 49ers lose this game and if Brock Purdy doesn't play well, okay, already two ifs. It's like, what are we even doing here with the what-if scenario?
Are you talking about the
Will
Sam
Darnold? Will Sam Darnold be like, are you kidding me, man? Brock Purdy has had such a good season. It's clear that Kyle Shanahan loves him and has loved him for a very long time. I don't know. I just think, like, this is awesome. This is the matchup that we wait all year for. This is why when the season ends in February, we can't wait for September. And when September starts, we enjoy every single drop of the season. It's for weeks like this, the Super Bowl. I'm pumped, ready to go. Let's talk about the game because the San Francisco 49ers are favorites. The Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Big Bad Mahomes, is an underdog for the third straight week. Craziness. If you've been listening for a while on this show, you probably know where I'm sitting because I have just been all in on this Chiefs dynasty for some time, and I find it very, very difficult to go against Patrick Mahomes, but I want to hear where you're sitting.
I want to go back just a little bit and touch upon how you mentioned, oh, the 2 week span just allows people to drag out these stories. There's nothing better. We say this every single year. There's nothing better than Super Bowl Sunday morning the pregame show, and it's just filled with a bunch of bullshit that just, it's like Adam Schefter comes out and says, oh, this is going to happen. And it's like, oh, it's like, okay.
It's a
9 hour, just like, it's almost a soap opera. And it's like, they have all these skits ready, like everything planned, what they're going to say that they've been holding on to for God knows how long. It's all fabricated stuff. None of it. It's just to keep people entertained for 9 hours until the Super Bowl. I think it's funny. But yeah, let's get right into the game. I think, again, you know, as somebody that's, I don't want to, okay. When it comes to Brock Purdy, like, some people think, like, I'm a Brock Purdy hater, and then some people think I give him too much credit. And I think that's a lot. Like, that seems to be, like, the common ground with Brock Purdy. Again, there is nothing that, in my opinion, at least when I look at my own takes of Brock Purdy, that makes me think that I'm a Brock Purdy hater. I just find it funny, and I'm happy you brought it up, because people love to, like, discredit him. But in that same sentence, they talk about how, like, it's like, oh, his team's so great, so that means he's not good enough. It's like, what? First off, you want to fast forward just a year ago. Jalen Hurts was getting all the praise. People were saying this guy's the second next best thing. He is the second best quarterback in the league to Patrick Mahomes. And that Philly team was friggin' amazing. Like, that was a team that on paper was so incredibly deep. It was like, how the heck are they going to lose this game? Obviously, they ran into Patrick Mahomes. But fast forward a year, and I love how different the narratives are now. It's like, okay, Brock Purdy has this amazing team, but instead of giving credit to Brock Purdy, people are giving credit to the team. And it's like, I don't want to give Jalen Hurts a stray, because I think he's a very good quarterback, but like, why aren't the sort of narratives the same with both these teams? I do think there are a ton of similarities with last year's Eagles team and this year's 49ers team. They almost mirror each other, like incredibly deep rosters. Quarterbacks are limited, but that doesn't mean they're bad. So why was Hurts getting all this credit and now Brock Purdy's getting zero credit? Right. Again, I think it's a load of hogwash, to be honest. I think it's just like pathetic, to be honest, because I mean, again, people are comparing Brock Purdy, the last pick in the draft, to guys like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. It's like, okay, obviously he's not as physically gifted as those guys. He was picked in the last round as the last pick in the draft for a reason, but that doesn't mean he can't be a good quarterback, right? It's honestly, I think the Chiefs are going to win just because they have Patrick Mahomes, but part of me, and it's crazy to say this because I am like pretty anti-Niners, like it's just in my blood as a Cowboy fan not to like the Niners, but I would love to see Brock Purdy just shut up everybody and like be like, okay, you guys can stop with this because I'm a Super Bowl champion and your opinion doesn't matter. I know he doesn't care about our opinions and anyone's opinion for that matter, but I just think it's funny how the narratives change in like a year time between last Eagles team and this 49ers team when pretty much the teams just mirror each other.
Yeah, I think to go with that Brock Purdy point, even if he wins the Super Bowl, for everyone who's hating on him now, I don't think it's going to really matter because the goalposts continue to move for this guy. It's never enough, and when he's good, it's all because of the team, and when he's poor, it's just to the fact that, oh, you know, he's a game manager, he's limited, he can't do this, and people are just, they're just waiting for that one moment where he slips up. So we'll see. I mean, outside of the quarterbacks, there's so much talent on the field. The group that I'm looking at the most and maybe most excited to watch is that Chiefs secondary. Because second to Patrick Mahomes, they've been the story of these NFL playoffs. Trent McDuffie has just been a revelation. And L'Jarius Sneed, fifth-round pick, who's like one of the best pure cover, like, where's your number one receiver? I'm going to shadow him for the rest of the game. Corners in the NFL right now. And when you have two corners that are so, so good and a secondary that is so, so good, it just allows you to play around with so much more on the defense side of the ball. And we know Steve Spagnuolo loves to unleash the blitz, and you're clearly more comfortable to do that when you know your corners can cover with limited help around them. So I think that's one area where I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how Brock Purdy navigates with his weapons, because I mean, 49ers got no shortage of them. Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey. We know he's obviously going to have a big game. That's one area I'm definitely interested in monitoring. And just the one last thing about the whole quarterback narrative and how it's never really enough for Brock Purdy. My favorite thing about the NFL playoffs in general is, no matter what happens, it seems like in the regular season, we have this super, super high focus on stats. Maybe it's because of fantasy football and stuff like that. In the playoffs, no one ever remembers how many passing yards you threw for, how many, you know, attempts, how many, what your completion percentage was. Last year in the Super Bowl, I think Patrick Mahomes had less than 200 pass yards in the game. Didn't feel like that. It felt like he had this legendary game. All we remember is those two or three marquee plays that separate the win from the loss. And if you're able to step up and elevate in those moments, that's all people really care about. So, Brock Purdy, best of luck to you. I'm rooting for you. I think I'm rooting for him. Well, I kind of want the Chiefs to win.
But. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'm honestly in the same boat. I really am going back and forth on this. Like, it's Wednesday now, and I still aren't like 100% zoned in on who I think is going to win. The reason I say that is because, like, okay. The Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, right? But, like, if you break it down and you see, like, if you had the Chiefs here and you had the 49ers here and you were listing ways that they could win the game or blueprints and, like, how each team can attack the other team and win the game, right? And you look at the 49ers and I feel like I see 20 different ways the 49ers could win this game. And then when you look at the Chiefs, I sort of see, like, one. It's like,
I don't know if I agree with that. I don't
right?
know.
Like, okay, you want to talk about... Maybe I'm just putting too much faith in Mahomes. Like, I don't know. I genuinely think that if you just, like, put these two teams, like, you put Patrick Mahomes, you have every player here, and you just take away the team names. I know you can't just do that, but let's say Team A and Team B. If you're breaking it down, like, okay, quarterback, Chiefs, right? Tight end, you want to call it Chiefs too, because that those two
close.
Together. It
it's
is close.
The second best tight close. End in the league on the
I
other
genuinely
side.
Think everything after that, is like
San Fran?
Is San Francisco?
Like,
okay, listen, secondary's Chiefs
maybe,
too.
Maybe, yeah. And I mean, San Francisco's got a pretty good set. Like, Charvarius Ward's had a great season. And yeah, San Fran has a great roster. But I just think, like, the way the Chiefs have won recently and the formula, all season long, we've seen them struggle offensively in the second half of games.
Yes, and it happened again last week.
But also, I'm starting to think that maybe this is part of their game plan. Obviously, they're not trying to not score, but they've gotten to a point now where they're very, very comfortable with a hot start.
Yes.
And I'm talking about a very, very efficient start. Like, Patrick Mahomes is coming in there. He's dropping back. He's not trying to make these magnificent 55-yard bombs on a rope to anyone. He doesn't really have a receiver that's been able to step up for him, right, for him to do that. It's so smart. He's hitting these cushions in the defense to Rashee Rice, to Travis Kelce. Their wide receiver screens, they feel like one of the only teams in the NFL that can actually do those with success. And the one guy we haven't said at all so far in this episode is Isaiah Pacheco. Because every single game in the playoffs, I think he had 24 carries against the Dolphins, 19 carries, and then 24 carries again against the Ravens. He has been unstoppable. And I think when they get him going and they can run you into the ground because of how physical he is, like, that's another avenue where I think they can win, where maybe Mahomes doesn't have to do too much. So, yeah, the 49ers have, like, this really, really solid roster, but I just think a lot of us are undervaluing some of the other ways the Chiefs can win football games. And I think that's what's maybe impressed me most in their playoff run so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying the Chiefs aren't a good team. I just think so highly of this 49ers team. Like, I think they're so good. And we've honestly preached it on this podcast for, like, the whole year, kind of. Yeah. Like, we were like, okay, the 49ers are still the best team in the league. Like, even when they went on that 3-game stretch, like, I don't want to say doubts, but, like, I was like, okay, it's, like, week 6. Like, who really cares, right? It's, like, they're still the best team in the league. Like, unless they show this for a longer stretch of time, or this is going on in week 17, week 18, right before the playoffs, then maybe you turn your head a little bit. But this is a darn good 49ers team. And it goes back to what we said at just the beginning of the show. With all that being said, it's like, how can you say that this matchup isn't exciting? Like, it makes no sense. You got a juggernaut team. The Chiefs are a great team too, but, like, you have this, like, could be the next GOAT, or could be maybe the GOAT. Like, who knows? If they win again, that's 3 championships in 4 years. Like, okay, I know it's you just put yourself 6 years ago before Patrick Mahomes, it's like, oh, nobody's ever even going to sniff seven rings. You never know that now. It's like, this guy's got three and he's 28 years old, right? So like there's so much going on and there's so many potential storylines and so many different ways this game can go. And just the ripple effect alone from the final, once the final whistle goes, there is negative effects for the Chiefs. And then there's also incredibly negative effects that if the 49ers aren't able to get it done, like this is another Super Bowl that they've gotten to and failed to win. Right. And they if they lose to the Chiefs again, it's like, what the heck's going on here? Like, again, I don't want to keep putting this burden on Kyle Shanahan because I think Kyle Shanahan is arguably one of the best coaches in the league at the moment, but it's like, he's got to win soon, right? It's like, how many times is he going to get there? And I don't want to say fall short, but yeah, he almost is falling a little short. So like, there is so much potential for just absolutely mayhem. And again, it goes back. I'm going to say it again. I just said it a minute ago. The fact that you could sit there and believe that this is a bad Super Bowl matchup or sit there and say, I'm not watching the Super Bowl, this is boring, I want a Ravens-Lions, like, makes no sense to me. I think this game is awesome, and this is arguably, sure, yeah, it's a rematch of what we saw 3 years ago. It doesn't make
which
it
was
any
a good
great.
Super Bowl.
Exactly, right?
Like, it had a nice lead change. It had a comeback.
It went right till the end. Yeah. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo misses. He missed
Emmanuel Sanders.
Like, that game went right to the end. So if you get that exact same game, it's a great Super Bowl, right? Would you rather that over 13-3 Patriots and Rams? No, yeah. Obviously, right? It's I don't know. To me, it's blasphemy. It's the people that are slandering it. Like, it makes no sense, right? I can't wait. I got my Super Bowl party lined up. What are you doing for the Super Bowl?
I usually have some buddies over, and we all fill out a sheet.
Yeah.
And it's just like, whoever gets the most wins a little bit of money, have some nice food, enjoy the game, watch Patrick Mahomes win. That's been the routine for like two out of the last 4 years now. So it's good. I'm pumped for it too. The 2 week break makes it weird. Like, I almost feel like football's over with how quiet things get. Like last Sunday, honestly, I watched the Pro Bowl. I watched the flag football thing. I actually kind of enjoyed it. I don't know if that's a hot take or not. I know a lot of people were ripping it, but whatever. Let's lock in final predictions, score prediction. And I'll say Super Bowl MVP, but if you want to pick a quarterback, then give me like an unsung hero.
Okay, sure. So like, what you want to say, like, we'll give you...
So maybe like a MVP, but if you're going to pick like Mahomes or Purdy, then... Or I guess McCaffrey's probably just right up there with Purdy. Say like a maybe the under the radar guy that you think could have a big game.
Sure. So I'm going to lean somewhere in the 27-24 range. I think maybe it could be a little bit higher scoring. I don't think we're going to see both teams touch 30 points, which I'm seeing a lot of people make that prediction. So I went back and forth on it. I think I'm going to lock in 27-24 Chiefs. I'm going to go with, obviously, the boring Patrick Mahomes MVP, but I think the unsung hero and potentially game-changing player is Rashee Rice. I think that's a real X factor here. I think he's got all the potential in the world, and he just feels like one of those players that's just waiting to break out. And I know you saw it a little bit with Sky Moore last year, and Sky Moore isn't even close to the type of talent that Rashee Rice has. So who knows? I think he's got the potential to really take over this game and attack the 49ers secondary, and I'm sure Andy Reid will use him in unique ways to make sure that the ball gets in his hand and gets in his hand early, because I don't think there's a better receiver on the field than Rashee Rice, and this is his ability to take that screen almost willingly to the house at any time.
That's a solid pick. I was actually going to say my score prediction, very, very similar to yours of 27-24. I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. I'm going to say it's 26-23. I'm still stuck in that field goal area, but I just think when the margins are really, really thin, you got to go with a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who has just made zero errors so far in the playoffs and has the proven track record. And until this guy loses, it's very, very hard for me to bet against him. So that's why I'm on the Chiefs. It scares me a little bit, the fact that I'm almost too confident in them, but I'm also keeping it close with the field goal game. And like I said, Mahomes, if he wins, I find it very, very hard that he doesn't win Super Bowl MVP unless Travis Kelce gets like three touchdowns. But I'll give you an unsung hero. Justin Reed, safety for the Kansas City Chiefs. I talked about how good this secondary is, and Snead and McDuffie get all the love because they're more of the bigger name guys. But Justin Reed's been a guy who has stepped up for this Chiefs team for some time now. I would love to see him maybe even get in there as a field goal kicker because he's done that for them. But I can see him coming up with a forced fumble, an interception, something like that to swing this game in Kansas City's favor. I think last year it was Nick Bolton that had the big defensive play for the Chiefs.
My buddy had him as a Super Bowl MVP long shot bet. Oh, yeah. Yeah, long shot bet. When he went and they called it back on the fumble, I think it was, or whatever, but he was going nuts. He got up out of his seat. Like, he always picks like one long shot. Nick Bolton was like 45,000 or something like that. It was crazy. But imagine that. Imagine hitting that.
I don't know what Justin Reed is this year, but you can probably get some pretty good value for him. But yeah, that's the prediction.
I'm surprised nobody picked 31-21. Did you see that clip of Oz Perlman, that mentalist?
No, but I've seen him do a ton of cool things.
So he went to the Jets. Yeah. Were the Jets on Hard Knocks this year?
Yeah.
So that's where it was from. It was from Hard Knocks earlier this year in training camp. And he had Mecole Hardman. Mm-hmm. Like, he selected Mecole Hardman from the crowd, from the meeting room, not crowd. And he was in the Jets sort of office there or whatever, wherever they do their meetings. And he picked Mecole Hardman and basically told Mecole Hardman to like picture himself at the Super Bowl and ask them like basically like who are you playing? Who are the Jets playing? Who is Mecole Hardman playing in the Super Bowl come February? And this is obviously in like August. And he said the 49ers. And then he proceeded to keep talking, and then he said, okay, Mecole, what's the score? Obviously the Jets win, but what is the final score? And Mecole Hardman goes 31-21. So it's like, now 31-21 is like the most popular bet.
The correct score bet
For the Chiefs. It's still crazy, crazy odds. Obviously, I doubt it's going to happen, but how crazy would that be? Imagine mentalist Oz Perlman corrects Super Bowl. But I'm sure there'd be a ton of people saying, oh, it's scripted, yeah. Right? That'd be the first thing ever.
Love that. Just a little reminder to all the Jets fans, too, that you still haven't made the playoffs in like 12 years. So yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, it would be.
Though that's our Super Bowl preview. Those are our Super Bowl picks. Before we wrap up today's show, last year we had a lot of fun with the food draft, and we wanted to bring that back, but we didn't want to do the exact same thing because my takes on Super Bowl foods haven't changed, and I'm pretty sure you're still eating mac and cheese with ketchup. That's what you drafted last year.
And mashed potatoes with ketchup.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That was Thanksgiving.
That was Thanksgiving draft. So yeah, we did those drafts last year. We wanted to do something similar this year. One of my favorite parts of the Super Bowl is obviously the weird prop bets that come with it. Specifically, though, the Gatorade prop. It's something that I look for every single year, the color of the Gatorade. I do research on it. I always pick it. It's just so fun, and it's one of those things that, like, you can know nothing about football, and it's, like, a great way to introduce yourself to the game and the sport and gives you something to watch for. Why not do a Gatorade draft? Because when I try to bet the Gatorade color, sometimes I look at color of the team, and if it matches, that's one of my strategies. But sometimes it's just taste. So why not draft the Gatorade flavors, because there are a bunch of them. I'll give you the first pick.
Oh, you're going to give me the first
pick. I'll give you the first pick.
You're going to give me the first pick. Yeah. You know, Gatorade flavors is always a very sensitive topic. Like, I have buddies that like, I'm not even going to say it, because I'm going to go right ahead. And my first overall pick is a strong flavor, a vibrant flavor. One that just, you know, it never fails. I will go to it every single time it's available to me. I'm going to go with yellow.
Yellow
is my favorite Gatorade flavor.
Out of the main four, blue, red, yellow, and orange, I think yellow is the best. I thought you were going to take blue. That seems like the most popular one, but I like yellow. But then there's also like all those other different flavors. They got like the glacier, whatever.
Yeah.
This might also be a hot take. I like Powerade better than Gatorade.
Really?
It's a little better.
I'm pretty sure Powerade's Canadian too,
I think,
right?
I think it is too.
So I'm sure a lot of you guys won't even know what Powerade is, but I kind of tend to agree there.
Yeah,
so
I like
who knows? Hopefully Gatorade's not actually watching this podcast. And if Powerade happens to be, you know, I'm an email away. We're an email away. If you want to hook up sort of a sponsorship here, you let us know, because we are definitely doing this for free right now. But you'll get the second overall pick. Obviously, the Caleb Williams of the draft is gone. So I want to see who you got.
I'm going to go off the board out of the main four. I don't know if that's allowed.
It is.
But there's like, I think it's called Gatorade Frost, and it's like a, it's kind of like Miami Dolphins colors. It's like a green, but it's not like green apple green. I forget what the flavor is. I'm going to look it up.
Green Gatorade.
It's like,
green.
It's like turquoise.
Yes.
Gatorade Frost turquoise. Or teal, whatever. I got to find out what the flavor is actually.
Yeah, that
called.
One right there. It's, probably it's, come it's that one. Yeah.
It's called Arctic Blitz. Wow, what an off... that. You know what that is? That's a Cleveland Farrell at number two taking that. But it's good, man. It's good.
It is. It is
I'm
a good one.
This.
You, so, I mean... Now, you got me at third overall here, and I got some really good options on the flavor, right?
That's
I got
what happens
red.
When you do Vontae Mack, no matter what.
I got red. I got blue. I got orange. But my scouting department is telling me that orange is a bust. Orange, really? No good. You don't want orange. You don't want orange in your team because it's overrated. I'm going to go with white.
Okay.
White Gatorade. White Gatorade. I think it's like, I don't
it's
know.
Cherry.
I'm pretty it's sure like it's cherry.
Some white cherry. Thing,
that is my second favorite. Obviously, it's not readily as available as yellow, hence the third overall selection.
Glacier Cherry.
Glacier Cherry. That's a great Gatorade flavor. It always hits the spot. It's not as good as yellow, but it's good enough to take my second overall spot.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. You probably could have picked that up as a UDFA, signed it for free. I'm not into white, clear, whatever you call it. I just think there's better players on the board. I think there's more versatile options on the board too. I'm going to head over to the guy you passed on. I'm going to take orange. I think orange is a steady player. I think it's maybe the ceiling is not as high as some of the other colors, but week in, week out, you know what you're going to get from orange, and I'm taking it at, what are we? It was pick number four.
Pick number, your second overall selection, so fourth overall. You know what, Puck? See.
How many rounds are we doing?
I don't, we're going to do one more round. Three and three. I think that's a, you got your quarterback, you got your receiver, and you got your running back, and you're playing flag football like you're at the Pro Bowl, right? See, I didn't have orange on my draft board. I'm not a big orange guy. I've only had it at the select times. I won't ever eat. I'll go to the point where if there's orange in my fridge, I'll go buy some more Gatorade to re-up because I ain't crazy, touching the orange. Man. I ain't touching the orange.
Orange is solid.
I can't believe I get in blue here at third overall because blue is a darn good flavor. Red's a good flavor too, but I got to go with blue. It's an OG. It's a staple. It's part of the original four. That's got to be a draft day steal. That's got to be like Trayvon Diggs in the second round. That's got to be like Brock Purdy and Mr. Irrelevant, 245th pick. Give me blue. I'm killing you right now. I don't like your team at all.
I got off-field concerns with blue. What's the flavor? It's called Cool Blue. I mean, that's also someone who took something called like Arctic Blitz, which also is like...
Blitz is a good flavor,
What is that? Blue, it's like... I don't know. What am I drinking? Maybe it's a little... It's a little too robotic for me in its movements. I don't know. I'm a little concerned. Red's obviously left. I feel like it would be criminal to leave red undrafted. I also love purple.
Purple was on my board, but blue is higher.
I also don't know, at least in Canada, it seems like you can only get purple in G2, which is like a no for me.
No, G2 is terrible.
But I think in the States, they might have just like straight purple Gatorade because they have purple Powerade here, which I like. But I'm going to take red because I just think the value is too good, even though I might prefer purple. But like G2, get out of here. Not into that. I'll take red as my last pick.
I mean, look, I'm a little bit biased here. I think my Gatorade lineup's a little bit better than yours. I do like the Arctic Blitz. I think that's a very off-the-board pick. It's sort of bold. It's almost like, it's you know, look.
It's like drafting Noah Igbinoghene.
No. Because Noah Igbinoghene ain't no Arctic Blitz Gatorade. That's a good flavor, right? I think you maybe could have gotten it a little bit later in the draft.
Definitely.
Because that wasn't on my draft board just because my scouting department doesn't run that deep, right? Like, they're focused on analytics. They ain't looking at the deep Gatorade flavors. But, again, that is one hell of a prop to just have some fun with. Everyone seems to always be so excited and so keen in on who and what color Gatorade the coach. And there's even an option that there's no Gatorade back. I can't believe people even take that because
I feel like
why would you want to be rooting for no Gatorade shower? That's like part of the whole thing.
And a lot of times they don't show the
they
Gatorade
never
shower
show it. You got to find it on Twitter.
It's like you're like, oh, maybe there's no bad, and then it's just like you're disappointed when you find out
bet cashes.
No bad. Yeah,
but speaking of props, we're gonna end off the show on another draft theme, except we're gonna draft our favorite props to bet during Super Bowl time. I think, again, there is, you could bet on anything. Like I saw DraftKings has a section for Taylor Swift. They have how many times is Taylor Swift going to be shown over, I think it was set at 6.5. They have if she's going to be shown during the anthem, if she's going to be shown before Jason Kelce. Like, I wonder who's got the job to like watch the Super Bowl and like watch it and like take notes and like, okay, yeah, okay, she was shown before Jason Kelce, cash those bets in. Like, I want to know who's behind that. And if you are, please reach out to us because I would love to get an interview on you because I think that's got to be one of the most interesting positions in the whole world. But because I had first overall in the Gatorade draft, it's only right for you to have first overall in the prop draft. So you go ahead. What is your ultimate number one overall pick when it comes to your favorite bets to your prop bets for the Super Bowl?
I'm absolutely not messing around here at all. I think this is a no-brainer, slam dunk first overall pick. The national anthem length, number one. And yeah, the coin toss might be the more, it might be the bigger name player. But what I think makes the national anthem so special is if you're watching at a party or something like that, everyone pulls out their phone and they start the timer on their own and everyone's kind of sitting together. And it's always so close. Whereas the coin toss, it's just, it ends in, you know, a matter of seconds. With the national anthem, you are locked in for a good minute and a half, and you're constantly being swayed of whether your bet is going to cash, whether you're on the under or the over. It's always so close that you're down to the last second watching. You don't know if your timer's official or not. It's just a fun...
And it never is official.
It's a fun way to kick off the game, and last year's anthem, Chris Stapleton, was the best.
And the Nick Sirianni meme ever. With the crying. Yeah,
exactly. So much comes out of the national anthem. It's great. It's the best prop bet for me.
By far. That was number one on my board. My scouting department identified that early. I'm also not going to take the coin toss here because like you mentioned, you don't really like it, like happens so fast, heads or tails. Like, okay, yeah, sure, it's fun, but my favorite bet, and it keeps me on the edge of my seat the whole time, is the longest touchdown prop. I think it's awesome. I think this year it's at 42.5. I always take the over. I don't care. I always take the over. I want the big splash plays. I love it. Give me my first overall pick. It might be a hot take. Who knows? It might be Jamarcus Russell picking at number one overall here. But I'm taking the longest touchdown prop over 42.5. That is my favorite prop bet to bet that isn't the anthem.
I'm into that. There's a couple other options for me here. I'm pretty anti halftime show bets. Not into them. The first song, don't really care. And you can bet on like the color of their shoes and all that stuff. I'm kind of out on that. I think I'm honestly just going to go back to the coin toss. I think this is a very different direction of my Gatorade draft. I think this is going to be a very straightforward, you know, don't mess around too much. We'll take the coin toss, heads or tails. You got a 50-50 chance. It's nice and simple. Somehow I always find I'm wrong on that. But again, I like the ones that take place even before the game even starts because it just sets the tone for the night.
That's a good one. I'm surprised I got this at second overall and fourth pick. I'm going back to Gatorade. I think Gatorade color, I think it's awesome because
it always
happens at the end of the, we already just talked about it, but it always happens at the end of the game. It always keeps people on the edge of their seat because they never really show it. So you always like trying to find videos of it. And there's always those videos from people in the crowd that post on Twitter. And you tend to find out that way if it's not too late, if your bet already didn't cash, because they seem to be fast. Again, if you're that guy that has to inspect that whole thing, glory to you. I would love to have a conversation with you, but I'm going to go with Gatorade. Gatorade bath color as my second overall selection. And your last pick, what are you going with?
I'm
going
to end this, and I honestly don't know if this is a reoccurring bet, but I saw it this year, and I think it's really fun because it also has a bit of like analysis in it, and it's the number of the first touchdown scorer, and it's an over-under. So this year it's set at 19.5, which is really interesting because underneath that, you get Debo, you get Ayuk, you get Rashee Rice, you get Pacheco. So you get all these guys for their first touchdown. And if you take the over, you got McCaffrey, who obviously is like the slam dunk favorite. But then you also got Kelce and Kittle. So those are like the three main guys. And then the under, you also get Mahomes and Purdy too. So essentially you're betting on like Kelce, Kittle, and Purdy versus the field for first touchdown scorer. And I don't know if this is a unique bet, and the line is obviously positioned where it is based on the two teams, but I just thought it was like a really cool one where it's like, man, that's interesting because I would be kind of torn with who to take.
I like that one, to be honest. I think it's cool. I haven't seen it. But I have seen it in years past. I think I'd be probably taking the over if I was betting that one.
Might as well just take
just because you get the pool.
You get the two favorites.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it makes more sense. I'm sure the over is probably the favorite there. Yeah. I'm sure it's probably pretty. Probably minus 150 or 170 or something. But my last pick, I was talking about it with my buddies. Half of them didn't even know what it was. But I love always taking yes for will there be an octopus in the Super Bowl, right? Do you know what an octopus is?
I don't know what that is either. So
an octopus is when a player catches a touchdown and then that same scoring possession or whatever, instead of the team kicking the extra point, they go for two, but then the person that catches the two-point conversion is the same person that catches the touchdown because of 8 points, right?
I've seen a tweet about this and how, like, it's happened before in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. It happens. It's rare, but, like, it does happen. And there's actually a lot of books that are offering, like, a Travis Kelce octopus bet, and it's like plus 3,000 some places. Like, I'm probably going to take it just because I think it's fun. That gives me something to cheer for, but that is my sleeper pick. Like, if I was picking, like, my scouting department, they told me, take the octopus because it's got potential to be a first-round pick.
Good value.
It's great value, right?
Yeah.
So, look, that's our drafts here. I mean, what props do you like to bet? I think everybody's got props. Even if you don't bet, you got your prop sheets, you fill out, whatever, right? What keeps you entertained? What is something that you keep your eye on? Is it first score safety? Because I know a lot of people love that. But again, that seems to be the popular one. Will there be a two-point conversion? I also saw, not to get too far ahead, but off topic, is I saw 99% of bettors that have placed bets on the overtime at MGM have gone yes for, like, will there be overtime? 99% of people.
Because of the value, I'm sure that, like, if it is yes, I'm sure
it's worth it. Yeah,
the money is probably, of course, even 100%. Out in terms of what they're getting and what they're giving out, just because of how much value there is.
100%.
Another bet that I love, this is not a Super Bowl prop bet, but the next morning when the next year's Super Bowl come out, fires me up every time. But if you're looking for a place to bet for the Super Bowl, head over to PointsBet Sportsbook. They're a proud partner here. I catch the blitz and
awesome.
Check them out. I'm sure they're going to have a ton of fun Super Bowl props. Some of the ones that we mentioned, coin toss, all that fun stuff. Check them out. Use code blitz when you're signing up. But yeah, that's it for the show. It's crazy to say that next time we sit here and do a podcast, we'll have a new
Super Bowl winner.
And then we do the whole thing again next year, talk about who's going to win again. But yeah, super excited for it. Thank you for your support all season long. And yeah, any last words?
I mean, we have a lot coming planned. I know last year we didn't really do too many episodes in the off season, but this year I think we're hoping to be a little bit more active on here and try and get some more content out for you guys, because you guys deserve it. We have a fun time doing it. And again, yeah, if you've made it this far, like, comment, give us feedback, subscribe, do whatever platform you're listening to it on. And I mean, just do what you got to do, right? Help us out. And yeah, we're going to bring content for you guys in the off season too. So we're not going to go away. We'll be back. We'll be back next week to do a Super Bowl recap episode. And for the foreseeable future, we'll be back doing this episode throughout the whole off season. So enjoy Sunday. Enjoy it with your family. Enjoy it with your friends, whoever you're watching it with. We're in for a great game, even though many people say that we're not. I'm going to enjoy it. Pac's going to enjoy it. And we'll see you guys all next week.